Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
So the subject is God's kingdom plan, and we are going to look at it in the context of Jesus' teaching on laying on of hands in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and then verse 1 to 3. We see six teachings attributed to our Lord Jesus Christ, six of them. Among the six is the teaching on laying on of hands. And laying on of hands is a doctrine or teaching that Jesus Christ gave when he was on earth. Actually, he lived it and then he taught it. Okay? Now, the doctrine of laying on of hands teaches us one thing. What do you think it teaches us? It teaches us to be practical in life, because laying on of hands is just putting your hands onto something. Hallelujah. And in life and in the Bible also, the hand always speaks about practical work. So when Jesus is teaching laying on of hands, he's teaching us the principle of doing practical work, what we call in modern parlance, secular work. Hallelujah. In other words, physical work that you do. Now, God is the first person who ever laid hands on a thing. Because in Genesis 2:7, the Bible says that the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. In other words, God laid hands on the earth, took some dust, and he formed mankind, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So, God is the first person who did secular work, not so. Because he is spiritual, he is anointed. But when he came, he took a secular thing, a literal, a physical thing like earth. And God was doing something with the earth. Can you imagine that? You say that, but why doesn't God just speak human beings and then human beings will appear? He didn't do that. He spoke many creation for it to appear. But when he came to us, he took something physical and did some physical thing. If humans were around at the time, I'm sure they wonder, hey, what is going on? What is he doing? I mean, he's so mighty. Why is he playing? Or is he wasting his time or something? Why? Has he lost his anointing? Do you understand? Some people say, has he lost his anointing? Why is it that he is now doing secular work? You understand? Why is it that he is taking something physical? He should be doing some spiritual things and moving in the realms of the spirit, using his power left, right, center, and all that. But when he came to us, he did secular work. He did physical things on the earth. That is why I don't understand people who look down on secular work, who look down on physical work that you do. I'm talking about believers. Have you come across believers like that? Think that when you are very, very anointed, you stop doing secular work. You understand? When you are very, very anointed, you stop doing physical things. All the things you are doing is in the realms of the spirit, speaking into the realms of the spirit, praying into the realms of the spirit, and speaking some spiritual things here and there. You know, they feel that when you are not anointed then you do secular work, but immediately you become anointed you stop doing secular work. Have you had that kind of understanding before? People try to do that. But look, the most anointed person, the most spiritual person, when he came on this physical earth, he did physical things. Can't you see he did physical things? He was speaking to the firmament, and he was speaking to rivers. I mean, he was doing physical things. All the creation he did, they were physical things that God did. Hallelujah. So God is the first person who did practical work when he was on this earth. He did it with human beings, teaching us a lesson that when it comes to us, unlike other creatures, we are not just a spiritual being as humans. We are physical beings, and we have to follow his example of what? Laying of hands. In other words, I gave you hands, physical hands, so that you would touch physical things and you would bring productivity out of it. Hallelujah. So God is the first person who did physical work on it. When our dearest Jesus was around also, he also did physical work. Actually, if you look at his 3 years of staying on this earth, he used about 30 years to do physical things. When I say physical things, I'm talking about secular work. You know that he was a carpenter. In other words, he literally laid hands on wood, physical wood. God did it on soil, is that right, to create man. He took the wood, the physical wood, and he will blend them, he will knock them together and do something productive and create, just like his father, God did. Hallelujah. So, if the example we are following did physical work, practical work, in the majority of his stay on earth, then we should also understand that being his children, being anointed, we can't be more anointed than Jesus. He did what? Physical work. Now, when he was doing those tables and chairs, doing the carpentry work, was he the son of God or not? He was. Not so. Yeah, he was. Was he sinful or sinless? He was sinless. Is that right? He was teaching us something. What was he teaching us? That we should lay hands. We should put our hands on something. In other words, we should get practical. So laying on of hands has got a dimension where we get practical with what? Our lives on this earth. Hallelujah. That is how we are going to bring about the kingdom of God on this earth. Okay? So when he came around, you know, the first thing he said, one of the first things he said was, I repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, he was saying that the kingdom of God is at your hands. You want to experience kingdom life, you have to get practical with your life, with your hands, so that you can have the kingdom of God. Let's see how he puts it in the book of Matthew chapter 25 and then verse 31 following. Matthew 25 and then verse 31 following. Jesus says over there, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit on the throne of his glory. Jesus will come again, and then he will sit where? On the throne of his glory. And all nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left hand. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my father. The king is Jesus. He will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Hallelujah. Come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. So the kingdom is the focus of Jesus Christ here. Is that right? So he is rewarding nation groups. He's rewarding, well, of course, nation groups are made up of individuals. Is that right? He says that you are going to inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the earth. Why are they going to inherit the kingdom? How come they can? have kingdom life. Look at the next verse. He says, for I was hungry. In other words, because I was hungry. You are going to experience kingdom life because I was hungry and you gave me food. You want to experience the kingdom of God, it is at hand. Jesus is explaining getting practical or laying on of hands. The principle behind it is getting practical, okay? And he says that because I was hungry, you gave me food. Because I was a stranger, and you beat me. Because I was naked and you clothed me. Because I was sick and you visited me. Because in prison and you came to me. Inherit the kingdom. Look at these things there. I was hungry, stranger, naked, sick, prison. Those are conditions on earth. Not so. Hunger is in heaven. It's right on this earth. Okay? Jesus says that we should do something practical to solve the hunger problem. What do you say? We don't say, God bless you. Water. Of course, you can say God bless you, but that's not enough. You can say take water. The person is naked. You don't say warm. Keep warm. You are naked, but don't worry. He says, I was naked, and it's me. No, he said what? I was naked. I was sick. Did he say I was with me? He didn't say that. What it doesn't mean that we shouldn't minister healing to the sick. Okay, but he's teaching a dimension practically on this earth. If you want to inherit kingdom, do practical things. The kingdom is at your hand. Just as God did in bringing the first kingdom era, he used it in the creation narratives. Okay, just as Jesus did, he used his hands, did practical things on earth. We should follow the example. The first impression we get about God in Genesis 1. The first impression of Jesus Christ in his life on this earth, when he was a carpenter, how come you do not want to do like that? How come you do not want to give water to the thirsty? How come you do not want to make yourself naked? How come we do not have to accommodate strangers, like the homeless, like people who do not have a place to sleep, to build house? And lodge them in that they can have a place to raise their head when they come to town, when they are around and they don't have a house living. Can we accommodate them in a hotel? Can we accommodate them in a house? Can we give a nice place for people to sleep so that Jesus will say, can have the kingdom life because I was a stranger. Nobody would take me there, but you accommodated me.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a national team ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord. Is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the purpose of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. Our strategy is to bring the kingdom message of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visual, the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Dominion Embassy Broadcast.
Hallelujah. So this is what Jesus is teaching. That when he comes, his glory. Listen carefully to me. I'm taking my time to teach you this. Because there have been teachings that have gone on board. That has seemed to give the impression that when he comes, all that he's concerned about, is your spiritual life. You let me put it this for now. Okay? Because it's not invisible. Do you know that the body that we're going to have when Jesus comes again and is glorified is going to be a physical body? The Bible calls it in 1 Corinthians 15 a spiritual body. Do you know that this kind of fruit that the people, the Jewish people in the wilderness, they ate, it was physical food, manna. But the Bible calls in the book of 1 Corinthians, is it chapter 10 or so, say spiritual food. The water that they drank, it was physical water. But do you know that it's inferred that it is a spiritual water that they drank? It's wonderful. So spiritual doesn't mean invisible. You understand that? Spiritual means that it is spiritual. That's what I'm teaching today. Okay? I just want to understand that the Bible says when Jesus comes and he sits on his throne and he's judging, he is going to recognize physical things that we do on this earth. Like coming, producing food, and it's too hungry to eat. He says, I'm going to reward your physical deeds, not just souls born again. Do you understand that? I'm not saying that souls who are born again should be a concern that we should have. But I don't think that we should, believers should have the mind that all that is concerned about is your spiritual ministry and your spiritual life. The use of the word spiritual is what I don't like, but for now, let's take it that one that we know traditionally. Okay? Wonderful. He's going to concern himself that we clothed people. Who are those who clothed people? Come and inherit what I've prepared for you all this while. What did I do? What did I do, you ask? Jesus will say, people who were naked on this earth, because of that, I am rewarding you. Do you see that from your Bible? Hallelujah. Does it mean that people born again and speaking the word of God to people who are naked, destitute of clothing, is not good? It is good. Speak the word of God to them. Okay, clothe them spiritually with the righteousness of Jesus. But please, don't give the understanding that when you do that, that is okay. And they can go naked and wait for heaven to be clothed. Jesus says, I'm going to recognize that when you get those born again. And I'm going to recognize the practical things you do on this earth. Feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, touching the thirst of the thirsty, is that right? Accommodating strangers, right? Visiting the sick. In other words, be humane. Don't just be anointed. Be a human being. When a human being sees somebody who is naked, although we are anointed, we clothe them. You understand? Yeah. And we visit those who are sick. Have you been sick before? And do you know what it means for you to be sick and put in a certain corner, inner part of your house? For people to come knock at your door, we want to come and visit you. Person suddenly feels that, but I belong. I'm not well, but people alone will be more healing than even the things we are swallowing. Because if we should assist people, if we should love people, I tell you what, they are going to feel, if they are going to get healed. Tell us, majority of the sicknesses that we have is stems from that has to do with a certain mind that people have. So they call it something to do with your mind, with your thinking, that is making the disease away. But when you go to them, just like I'll recognize you. You may not have you, but recognize the visit you pay to those who are not normal, who are sick. Yeah. So I want us to understand, and our dearest Jesus, they recognize what you do on this earth. Hallelujah. What we call in our modern secular work, manufacturing clothes. If you are anointed, will you manufacture clothes? If you are doing farm, if you are anointed, will you be producing water? If you are anointed, will you be visiting the prisons? All that, won't you wave your hand and then all the prison doors are open? Just like that. He says, go ahead and say, book an appointment and visit. The first impression we get about God, the first impression we get about Jesus, that is a major part of what Jesus Christ That is what I am teaching us in realizing kingdom life, destiny for you to do as God did, as Jesus did. Lay your hands on something. Lay your hands on something. Ask yourself, I laid my hands on. What am I doing? Practically. Okay. Now, God's kingdom purpose is something we have discussed in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. What is God's kingdom purpose for? Creating mankind. What is his kingdom purpose for creating mankind? It is what? To have dominion. Is it to worship? Or is it? Let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them worship me. Did he say that? He left me. On this earth, the kingdom God has got for us is to do what? To have dominion. Did he say, let us make them in our image and let them be anointed? Did he say that? Say them have dominion. Because anointing is a means to it. Then it's what? Dominion. What is means to the end is what? Dominion. So the ultimate of God's purpose for making mankind, human beings, you and I, human beings, that original purpose is relevant, right? To have dominion. What does it mean to have dominion? To be in charge, to control on this earth, to manage the chaos on this earth. What the earth was chaos, he organized the earth, says a rule over it. Make sure you keep it. Don't let it deteriorate into chaos again. Manage it. Control it. Be in charge. That is what it means to have dominion. To have rule. To rule in this life. The word dominion in the Old Testament. The New Testament equivalent is kingdom. Kingdom is from two words. King and dominion. This time, Jesus, when he was teaching the kingdom, and dominion, he mentioned the word basilia that means kingdom. He actually added to the dominion. Of course, he is the best Adam, the last Adam, the proper Adam. And he is understanding that we should be kings. Adam had dominion, and you know, it is a word that is used for kings, right? For monarchs. The dominion is this, right? Jesus Christ comes and he says, I have kingdom. The dominion. You being a king with dominion. So he's speaking the same language as Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the kingdom purpose of man. Good. Now, in Genesis 1, 28, God gives us a kingdom plan. The first one he gives us in Genesis 1, 26, purpose, and then he gives us a kingdom plan. Let's read Genesis 1, 28 for our kingdom plan. In other words, this is a plan that God has given to all human beings that they should follow for them to have the purpose of being ruling on this earth as kings. All right. So Genesis 1, 28 says, then God blessed them. Hallelujah. You remember what Jesus said, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. Now the Bible says that for mankind to be able to fulfill the purpose of kingdom, ruling, being in charge in this earth, he blessed them. Said, be fruitful. Can we all say fruitful? Multiply, say multiply. Fill the earth, say fill. Subdue it, say subdue it. Have dominion, say have dominion. Okay. So he gives them a five-fold plan for them so that ultimately they will arrive at the purpose, the ultimate, which is what? Dominion. So the first plan is what? Fruitfulness. The second plan is what? Multiplying. The third plan is what? Refilling. Replenishing. The fourth plan is what? Subduing. It leads us to the fifth and the ultimate, which is have dominion. Have dominion where? On it. Hallelujah. He didn't say, I, God, I will have dominion on it. Let me explain that. Because we need to understand, children of God, that God gave us dominion on it. He didn't say, I want to have dominion on it. We are the people who should rule on this earth on behalf of God and in His way. Hallelujah. We are the people. That is why you even have to pray. The basis of prayer is Exodus 26 and 28. That let's make man in our image and let them have dominion. Not let me have dominion. Me referring to God. Let them have dominion. So if God should even intervene in affairs on this earth, those who have the authority should call upon Him to come in. You understand? So He will not come in on His own, so to speak. He will prepare us to ask Him to come in, and then He will come in. That explains some of the confusion on earth, which people do not understand. That if God is really there, why do we see corruption? If God is there, why are people cheating one another? If God is there, why is even sickness around? If God is there, why are the oppressed being oppressed all the time? Why are people, the system against some people historically all the time? Why are Jewish people suffering all the time? Why are black people suffering all the time? You understand? It's all because human beings have got the dominion. He said, let them have dominion. Not let me have dominion. Let them have dominion. Hallelujah. So God has got for us a five-stage plan. If only the first plan, we will arrive at the place of kingdom or rulership. Hallelujah. On this physical earth. Let me take you to Acts chapter 1 and then verse 6 to 8. And let me give you what I call the New Testament equivalence of Genesis 1, 28. New Testament equivalence of Genesis chapter 1 and then verse 28. These are the very last words that Jesus Christ spoke. Last words, so to speak. Okay? That Jesus Christ spoke before left the earth. Genesis chapter 1 and then verse 6. What I'm teaching us now from the scripture is that Genesis 1:28, where we have the kingdom plan, we see the same thing repeated by our Lord Jesus in Acts chapter 1 verse 6 to 8, and I want to show it to you so that you understand that Jesus Christ, He came to take us to the beginning, to empower us to be able to function like kings for Him in His absence. Even as He's going to heaven, I've come to do something, says Jesus. Now I leave you with what God left or gave to you in Genesis 1:28, when the first kingdom era was established. I leave the same thing with you so that what? So that after my empowering, you will be able to fulfill Genesis 1:28, the kingdom plan.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.